Acts 4:12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want us to bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank Thee for the day that You've given us that we might live. Thankful for this time that You've given us that we can assemble as a New Testament Baptist Church. You know all of our needs. There are those here that are not saved, and they need to be saved. The greatest need that they'll ever have in this life is to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We know without Him, they will go out into eternity and spend it in a devil's hell. We pray for those that are saved. All of us this morning have trials and things in our life and testings. Things, Lord, that seemingly weigh us down. We know there's sin often that besets us. And we pray, Father, this morning that You'd be pleased by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit to cause us to see ourselves and to see that our need of trusting You more and relying and depending upon You each day of our life. We pray especially for our elderly people. We're thankful first for them. Thankful that You've blessed them through the years and given them these many years to live. And thankful, Lord, that for their being faithful to You. And now we pray, Father, that You'd give them the grace that they need at this time. We pray for all of our young people, Lord, that seemingly are astray, or even though many profess Christ, walk afar off. We pray, Father, for the teenagers, the young people, the young married couples. Pray that You'd work in their hearts and lives. And Father, I pray that You would enable me this morning that I might proclaim the word that You would have proclaimed here to this people. And that You'd be pleased, Lord, to open the hearts of some and then to open the understanding of others that they might receive the word. Now, Father, I pray that You would bless these that we've prayed for that are sick. We have several we've mentioned. Some are young and some are elderly, but we know that You're the great physician, that You're the one that is able to heal the body if it pleases You. You're the one that's able to save the lost. And so, Father, we pray that it would please You this morning to work mightily in our hearts and lives and cause us that we might look to Thee and that we might recognize that there is none other but the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray that You would forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. If you'll notice in this verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. My subject is one name for salvation. One name for salvation. There is only salvation in one name. It's not to be found anyplace else or in any other name. That name is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. A lot of people today that claim to be saved are not saved. A lot of people that are not saved have a desire in a human way, a humanistic way, to know about salvation. But they're trying to secure it or to find it in a way other than God has devised. His design, God's design for salvation of all those that will be saved, is in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe the writer here in the book of Acts tells us, and this is a wonderful scripture, neither is there salvation in any other. Now that's Jesus Christ. There cannot and there is not. There is not salvation in any other person but Jesus Christ. I thought about when Jesus said, when he was talking there in the 14th chapter of the book of John, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus declared this truth himself. Now you think about all of the ideas that the world or the devil has given you to think about how that you might be saved, when only there's one person that salvation is found in, and there's only one way to be saved, and that's God's way, but it's in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with keeping this in mind, I want you to turn to a chapter that I'm going to use this morning, John chapter 1. John chapter 1, the theme of the Gospel of John is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in this first chapter, we see that it talks much about the Son of God. And you'll see that Christ is God's Son because of the names He bears, the works He performs, and the witnesses who knew Him personally. So there's three things in this first chapter. That is, names He bears. The second one is works He performs. And the third thing is witnesses who knew Him personally. Now these are the three points that we find in one name for salvation. And they're all given to us right here in John chapter 1. Now Christ's names prove that He is the Son of God. The first thing that we'll notice when we refer to the name of Christ is He is the Word. This is found in verse 1 through 3 and in verse 14. Now I'm going to read these verses and you follow with me. In the beginning was the Word. Now that's Jesus Christ. That's one of His names, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now look what it says. The same was in the beginning with God. And I like what it says in verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And then we just look over here to verse 14, and here's what it says. Now remember, we're talking about one name for salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now we see here, this is a wonderful statement that is made in the Word of God. He is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I want to say something to you and reveal to you what I want to say, I use words. And when God wants to say something to us or to reveal something to us, He uses the Word. The Word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought about what he said in the Gospel of John, and there was such confusion about the Lord Jesus Christ. And some people have such a problem with believing the Trinity, believing in God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. When Jesus was here on earth, and various things he said, they had a problem with this. And Jesus said this in the 14th chapter of John, and there in verse 9, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? Now look what he says. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? It seemed that it was hard for them to recognize really who Jesus Christ was. It is hard today for people to realize and to recognize who Jesus Christ is. And I believe that what is said about Him here in John 1, 1 through 3, and in verse 14 are some wonderful verses of Scripture. But even we find that the Word of God is composed of letters. And here's what He said. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek, and Omega is the last letter of the Greek. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet that we have here. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I believe that He is the one who spells out God's love to us, or manifests God's love to us, or show us God's love. Now, in Genesis 1, God created through His Word. But who is the Word? Well, there's two places that I want us, not only did we see here in John 1, 1 through 3, but also in Colossians chapter 1. And in verse 16, listen to what Paul said when he was writing here in this passage of Scripture, and he identifies as to who that the Word is. In Colossians 1 and in verse 16, he says this. He says, For by Him... Now, and if you want to back up just a little, you'll see that verse 13 says, The kingdom of His dear Son, that is Jesus Christ. Verse 14 says, In whom? And verse 15 says, Who is the image of the invisible God? And then verse 16 says, For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. Now look, and John has already given us this in John 1, 1 through 3, but you'll see that he also says not only were all things created by Him, but all things were created for Him. And who we're talking about here is the Word, who is the Son of God. Now, the same thing, the Apostle Peter indicated the same thing when he said in 2 Peter, and there in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and in verse 5, he said concerning, For this they willingly were ignorant of, and here's how he says, that by the Word of God, that means that by the Lord Jesus Christ, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, and goes on and talks about this. And so we see that the Word is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is another name for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we see that God is known to men various ways. He's known, and He makes Himself known through nature. God makes Himself known through the teaching and the preaching of men. But He really reveals Himself and is fully known through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote about when he said in Hebrews chapter 1, and there in verse 1 and verse 2. Now, who was Paul writing about here? In the very first part of Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, And here's what he said. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now look at this. And this is the way that God reveals Himself, and God speaks to people today through the Word, or through the Son, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. And you'll notice every scripture that we have read here shows the Son of God, or the Lord Jesus Christ, as being the one that made all things or created all things, and He is the one that speaks the Word of God, and He is the one that manifests the Word of God through Him. Christ as the Word brings grace and truth. We see this in John chapter 1. But if men will not receive Him, this same Word will come in wrath and judgment. When men do not receive Him, the same one that is the Word that they receive is going to come in wrath and judgment. He's the very same one. So we see Revelation talks about that in several places, especially in chapter 19 and verse 13. So the Bible is the written Word of God, and Christ is the living, incarnate Word of God. Now there's only one name of salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the incarnate Word of God. But not only do we see in the Gospel of John that He is the Word of God, but we see that He is the light. Now, light is always associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. Darkness is always associated with Satan. Now, you'll see that the Word of God, and this is another, so we call Jesus the Word, and we also call Him the light. So their salvation is in the Word, and salvation is in the light. And we find that He says this when He mentions in the fourth chapter, in the first chapter in verse 4, notice what He says. In Him, that is Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know what God has to say as the Word, it's going to be in Christ. The written Word, the incarnate Word. And then if you want to find light, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. There isn't light anywhere else, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. Now notice this. And the darkness comprehended it not. And He goes on and says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Now, who's the light? The light is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is He to bear witness of? The Lord Jesus Christ, that all men through Him might believe. And so we see that He refers to Him, and He goes on all the way down through the 13th. Look at verse 8. He was not that light, that is John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. And of course, we see that Jesus Christ is referred to as the light. One of the first things that God did in Genesis 1 was to produce light. It was one of the very first acts of God in Genesis 1. So we find that light comes from light. But it was the first thing that God did. And Jesus is the true light. Every light has its source from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true source. He is the origin. And so we find in the Gospel of John here, you'll find there's a conflict between light and darkness. Because you'll see, the darkness comprehended it not. And you'll find that here, what happened here in this was that, and the light shineth, present tense, in darkness, and the darkness has not been able to put it out or to lay hold of it. There's no way that the darkness can put out the light, or that even darkness can lay hold of the light. There's no way that it can. And of course, we find that what it really happens here, it pictures salvation as the entrance of light into the dark heart of a sinner. All you've got to do is use this illustration, or look at this in 2 Corinthians, and there in chapter 4. I think about often, and I ponder this thought so much of, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. And there's others that I want to see saved so bad. And I know that there ain't a thing I can do but point them to Christ. I know that's all I can do is point them to Christ. Now look, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and look at verse 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And look what's happened. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now what are they in? They're in darkness. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but look at this, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The only way that anyone will ever be able to be delivered from darkness and from the bonds of Satan and would be is by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way that anyone will ever be saved is by the Word and by the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we find in the Gospel of John another name that is given to him, and we see he is referred to as the Son of God. He is the Word, not only is he the light, he is the Son of God. Look in John chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18. And notice what the Word of God has to say here. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Now, this aroused the Jews. Any time that Jesus declared himself to be God and to be the Son of God, it would always arouse the Jews, and the Jews would try to persecute him, and they would say that he blasphemed, and they wanted to put him to death. Every time. John chapter 10 shows us this. Verse 30 and 36 of John chapter 10, notice what it says. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And so we see that this was always what would arouse the Jews, and why they crucified him. The very reason why that they crucified him. There's six persons in John's gospel who call Christ the Son of God. Here in the first chapter, in the verse 34, John the Baptist. In the same first chapter, Nathanael said it in verse 49. In the sixth chapter, verse 69, Peter declared him as the Son of God. In chapter 9, the healed blind man declared him as the Son of God. In chapter 11, Martha declared him as the Son of God. In chapter 20, we find that Thomas declared him as the Son of God. The man who will not believe that Jesus is the Son of God cannot be saved. For John chapter 8 and verse 34 says this, Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And so we find that what he's speaking of here in this is that those that deny, verse 24 is the verse I want to read in the 8th chapter,
I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. And that's the verse that I wanted to refer to, was there in John 24. So we see that one name for salvation, that is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. Jesus Christ is the light. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But also in John chapter 1, we see that He is the Christ. For look in the first chapter of John and look with me in verse 19 down through verse 28. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then art thou, Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." And as the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." Now look what he's going to say in this passage of Scripture. And he goes on and he says, "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. And what he was talking about was the Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who that he was talking about. Now this means the Messiah, or the Anointed One. The Jews were expecting their Messiah to appear, and this is why that they questioned John. But the Jews were not only looking for him, but even Samaritans were looking for him. All you got to do is read that in chapter 4 of John, verse 25 and verse 42. "And the Jew who said he was the Christ was thrown out of the synagogue." For look in John chapter 9 and there in verse 22 what it says. "These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue." And so we see that they did not want to recognize Him as the Word, as the Light, as the Son of God, and they did not want to recognize Him as the Christ, the Christ. But this is the only way of salvation and the only name of salvation. I tell you, there's something in a name, in the name Christ. But not only do we see Him there as the Word, as the Light, the Son of God, and the Christ, but we also see Him as the Lamb of God. Now look with me in John 1 and there in verse 29. And this is, I always, it thrills me every time that I can think of John seeing Jesus and the excitement. How it thrilled his heart, thrilled his soul. And you know, if you're saved, that's the same way the name of Jesus ought to thrill you. And I'm rebuked many times because I'm not as thrilled as I ought to be when somebody names the name of Jesus. It shows, you know, how backslidden I am many times when that happens. You know, we ought to rejoice just when the name of Jesus is mentioned. Now look, verse 29. "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now John's statement here, or announcement, is the answer to Isaac's question. You know what Isaac's question was? "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Genesis 22:8, here it is, the Passover lamb in Exodus 12, the sacrificial lamb in Isaiah 53 pointed the way for Christ. Now there were lambs in the Old Testament, all kinds of lambs in the Old Testament, but Christ is the Lamb of God. And there's a tremendous difference. Lambs in the Old Testament merely covered sin. That's all they did. Hebrews 10. They just covered sin. Hebrews 10. And look at it there. In Hebrews 10, 1 through 4, look what it says. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But you know, look what John said about the Lamb of God. Look what he said about him here in John 1:29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He does away with it. I'm so thankful for the Lamb of God. He did more than cover my sins. He did away with my sins. He expiated my sins. Is really what it is. He expiated my sins. My sins are gone. And my sins are to never be remembered no more. And you know, every year they would bring those sacrifices, and that was a continual remembrance. Their sin was ever before them. But Christ takes away sin. The Old Testament lambs were for Israel alone, but Christ died for both the Jew and for the Gentile. And how thankful that we ought to be in that. But not only is he referred to as these names, but he is also referred to here in John 1 as the King of Israel. If you'll notice in verse 43 down through verse 49, you'll find that it speaks of him. And I'm going to go on down and it talks about Nathanael and all, but we'll mention this maybe later if time permits. But verse 49, what I read, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And notice how that, did you notice that being there? Thou art the King of Israel. Now, Israel was tired of Roman rule and they wanted a king. That's why the Jews were so disgusted when Christ committed himself to death on a cross, or when Christ gave himself to die on a cross. They didn't want somebody dying on a cross. They wanted somebody to sit on a throne. They wanted a king to sit on a throne. But what they didn't realize is, he is going to sit on a throne, but he was going to go to the cross first and die. And there is a time that he's going to rule and reign, and that he's going to sit on a throne. On a throne. But Christ fed them, and they wanted to make him king. 6th chapter, verse 15. But he departed. He offered himself as their king. All you got to do is go to 12th chapter, verse 12 through 19. He talks about, but the same crowd that welcomed him later cried, We have no king but Caesar. Now crucified, and do away with him. But we find that one of the names that is spoken of here in the Word of God, here in John 1 and in verse 49, thou art the King of Israel. And so how we see that. But then there is another name that is given to him. Now remember, there's salvation only in one name. There is another name that is given to him. He is the Son of Man. Look at verse 50 and verse 51. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee in John 1, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou that thou shalt see greater things than these? And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. This title comes from Daniel chapter 7, verse 13 through verse 14, and ever a Jew knew it meant deity. But the Jews questioned. They had a question in chapter 12 and in verse 34. And here was the question. And in this verse, the people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man? And you notice the question that they had for him here. And so we see that the same crowd that was welcoming him now, how they were crying out against him and how that they doubted him. But I believe that in verse 50 and 51, there's a reference to Jacob's ladder in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10 through 17. Now, there's only one ladder between earth and heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. There are people are always talking about climbing a ladder, but there's only one ladder between earth and heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. That means He's the only way, revealing God to man and taking man to God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ and what He does. The only way that man gets to God is Jesus Christ takes him there. The only way. So we see as far as His name. But now let's notice right hurriedly His works. What were some of His works? Well, I'm going to go through these right quickly. One of the works is He created the world. There in the 1 John 1, verse 1 through 4, He was in the beginning with God and was a divine agent through whom the world were created. The world was created by the Lord Jesus Christ. But the second work is He gives salvation to men. Verse 9 through 13. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh in the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, now that's Jesus Christ, as many as received Him. And that's why that the Bible always talks about we receive Jesus Christ. We receive Him. We receive Jesus Christ. I've tried to develop that into my vocabulary of receiving Jesus Christ. I understand when people use other words. But I always try to say that we receive Jesus Christ. And I have to work on that myself to keep that right. But as many as received Him, now notice that's first, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And so we see, now look how this comes about. Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is a free gift that the sinner receives when he trusts Jesus Christ. Believing and receiving, we think of them as being the same thing. And a new birth then takes place, and it's not by human blood, or it's not by the energy of the flesh, it's not by the will of man, but it's of God. And so, not only do we find the work of the Son of God as creation, but He gives men salvation. And that, in essence, is what Luke is saying there in Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only do we see that He gives men salvation, but He is the one that reveals God. Verse 15 through 18. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So one of His works is He reveals God. Christ reveals God's grace, and He reveals God's truth. Now, Moses gave the law, and what did the law reveal? Sin and condemnation. But then Christ reveals grace that redeems. The only way that anyone will ever know God is by the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the Lord Jesus Christ that reveals God unto men. And then another work is He has intimate knowledge of men. This chapter 1 It really blesses me. Look at these verses with me. Verse 42. John 1:42. And look. Now he has an intimate knowledge of men. That means he knows them. I'm surprised sometimes when somebody, you know, will come up with the idea, well, God knows me. You know, they're surprised. But he has intimate knowledge. Look in verse 42. And he brought him. Now, who he's talking about is in verse 41. He findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now, look in verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. Now, in intimate knowledge, Peter came up. He knew who that he was. Right off. But look in verse 47 and verse 48. And this, I really rejoice in this. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him. Now, if you'll back up just a little bit, you'll find in verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael. And then Nathanael said unto him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And then verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, now look what he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now notice, listen to what he said. Now listen, verse 48, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Now notice what he said to him. He said, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And so, we see here that one of the works of the Son of God is an intimate knowledge of men. He knew Peter and Nathanael better than they knew themselves. Only God can see the hearts of men. And he knows, and he has an intimate knowledge of men. But another work is that he forgives sins. And this is brought out in that 29th verse. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away sin. Nobody on earth can take away a man's sin. You can pray to any man you want to. You can confess to any man you want to. You can talk about your sin to any man you want to, and they can't take it away or do away with it. They can't forgive it. You can confess it to who you want to on earth, and they can't do a thing about it. The only one that can is the Lord Jesus Christ that can forgive sin. But we also see, as we read there in verse 50 and 51, he opens the way to heaven. Christ reveals the glory of heaven and opens heaven for us to enter. The only way that we'll ever go to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what is given to us in John chapter 14 and there in verse 1. Now there were witnesses. The third thing, there was witnesses. I'll give these right quickly. And I'm just going to mention these witnesses. There was John the Baptist in this 7th verse. John the Apostle. He spoke of the Old Testament prophets as witness. There was the Holy Spirit that was a witness. Andrew was a witness. I like to read about Andrew. Andrew, you know, what it says about him. You know, how that he started home by being a soul winner. And when you read about Andrew here, and it's Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, you notice how it refers to him. Then there was the witness of Philip in the 45th verse. And then there was the witness of Nathanael in verse 49. It's interesting here that you'll see that God, in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, used some men to go out and to preach and for other men to come. But then Jesus Himself then spoke to some. Right here in John chapter 1. God uses different men and different circumstances to bring people to Christ. But there's only one name for salvation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what does the Lord Jesus Christ mean to you? What does He mean to you this morning? Is it just a name that you've heard?
Or is it a name that you've come to treasure? Or is it a name that you've come to recognize is precious? We ought to be careful how we use His name. I hear sometimes people get excited and they'll say, Jesus. Or they'll say, Jesus Christ, you know, and we ought to be very careful how we use His name. Because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would this morning that I'm like Paul, that all of you would be as I am. And that is in Christ. Knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. What a blessing it is. And the only way that you'll ever be saved. And I think about this so often. There's people here this morning that I am praying for to be saved. And I want to see saved for God's glory. And for their good and for God's glory. But I know the only way they'll ever be saved is by Him through Jesus Christ. He is God's way for salvation. I thought about John's. There's so many verses in the Gospel of John. You think about all of the verses. Jesus referred to Himself as, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the resurrection, the life. And there's so many things that He talked about. And there's only one way you'll ever spend an eternity in heaven. And that is by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, I know that salvation is of the Lord and that God brings us about. But I believe that it's a wonderful thing that when you trace the missionary journeys of these men and they went and preached, and they preached Jesus, and people believed. People received Jesus. And people were saved just by preaching that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, came, died, was buried, and arose again, and is at the right hand of the Father.